It's time for the Fantasy Points Podcast, brought to you by FantasyPoints.com. Top-level fantasy football and NFL betting analysis from every perspective and angle, from numbers to the film room, with a single goal, to help you score more fantasy points.
Welcome to the Week 14 Waiver Wire Podcast at the Fantasy Points Podcast Network. I'm Joe Dolan. There's Tom Brawley and T-Bro. Normally, these late season waiver wire podcasts, I can't believe we did a half an hour last week, but normally we're just digging into the depths and the dregs of the waiver wire. But honestly, we got to put a major focus on the Monday Night Football game last night between the Jaguars and the Bengals. There's a lot on the waiver wire that could potentially help you, or I don't know about help, but maybe just somebody to fill your roster here. After a couple of key injuries in that game, Trevor Lawrence going down with what, fortunately, based on reports today, looks like a minor ankle injury, even though they had to carry him to lock. Get the man a cart.
I know. It looked bad, too, even the replays. It sounds like best case scenario that this is a relatively minor injury. So,
yeah,
it could have been a lot worse.
If you didn't see, Trevor Lawrence is carried about a mile and a half to the locker room with guys on each side of him. I'm like, get him a cart. I know, like, the cart is never great because you're like, oh no, he got put on a cart, but it wouldn't change the nature of the injury. So fortunately, it looks like it's a minor ankle sprain, but we could be
either that or move the x-ray room closer to the locker rooms. You've got to walk halfway around the stadium to get to an x-ray machine. Come on, guys, let's go. There's better logistics.
Unbelievable. But let's go now to let's talk about the Trevor Lawrence injury and also the fact that the Jaguars lost Christian Kirk in that game to a groin injury, and they had a player who immediately stepped in, Tom, and had himself a pretty solid game. Our boy Parker Washington, who I still think screwed himself and screwed Penn State by leaving early because he was a sixth round pick, but he sure looked good in that game last night. So we'll get into that. And then if you've maybe lost Trevor Lawrence.
Yep, the guy playing across from him last night.
How about that? Let's start with that. Let's start with Jake Browning, who had an amazing game for the Bengals last night.
Yep. Pulls off a major upset victory. I mean, that spread had stretched out throughout the course of the week, was a double-digit underdog in that game, and he played extremely well, 32 of 37. 354 yards, a touchdown, and he even ran a touchdown in. So did not really see that coming, but if we look at his performance so far as a whole, I thought he played relatively well against Baltimore whenever he filled in immediately after the Burrow injury. Certainly, I thought we were going to get more of what we saw last week against the Steelers. Very, very scattershot and, tip balls, and he was fortunate to get to 227 yards against the Steelers 2 weeks ago, but still averaged 8.7 yards per attempt. So if you look at everything as a whole, over 2.5 games here, I think he's playing relatively well. And this quarterback position has just been a disaster here this season. So I think he's up at the top of the waiver wire pile here. We know he's got Ja'Marr Chase. We saw what he can do. Just throw it up to him, and he can do the rest and take it 70 yards for a long touchdown, which really padded the stats. But he's got T. Higgins back as well. So he's got a lot of the big-time weapons that Joe Burrow has been operating with. So, maybe I don't think he's going to be this difference maker, but if you're playing in a 2QB league or just need a streamer for this week, Kyler Murray is on bye. Sam Howell's a weekly starter at this point. So if you have Howell, Kyler, or Lawrence, I think Browning is a guy that you can – go to the waiver wire, pick up and play this week. I believe they have Indianapolis. The Colts. So, yeah, and we've seen the Colts games with them, involved with them, have tended to shoot out this season. They've gone over their total quite a bit, comparative to their totals for these games. So I think Browning is a guy you could come up, pick up and stream, and maybe he's useful later in the season as well.
Let's talk about Parker Washington, Tom. For the Jaguars, who obviously scored a touchdown, had a few catches, his first catches in the NFL, looked like he belonged there. If Christian Kirk is expected to miss some time here,
yeah, we'll see if he was in a lot of pain when he went down last night. So we'll see. I mean, he was pretty much immediately ruled out. So Parker Washington, I never had a catch before last night, and Did have one muff on the punt. That was about the only thing he did wrong. Had a nice juggling catch on the back line for a key touchdown. I think that was on a third down play. So that ended up getting them to overtime. They didn't ultimately win the game, but he kind of stepped right into his spot and took over in the slot. But I think there's another guy too. Zay Jones actually showed some life. He's available in 79% of leagues. I'd probably go towards him first. Definitely saw his best usage of the season, 8 targets. Had a chance for another deep ball later in the game and wasn't able to get it, but still finished with 5 for 78. And we know at times Trevor Lawrence tends to look his way a little bit more than some of these other guys in the red zone. So I think Zay Jones, we've been kind of waiting for him all season. He's been hampered by a knee injury since since September. So maybe he's finally starting to turn a corner here. He could get you a goose egg at any point. They do have 2 tough matchups against Cleveland and Baltimore coming up, but he can go on. We saw multiple times last year where he can go put up a 20-point fantasy point game, and it's no big deal. So we'll see what the extent of the Kirk injury is. Obviously, we also need to see what the extent of the Lawrence injury as well, because those guys do lose some appeal if we got to have Beathard make a couple of starts the next couple of weeks.
Any interest in CJ Beathard if you need him?
No, I'll probably just hold off on that one. I think we can find some other guys on the at the quarterback waiver wire here. Looking down at New Orleans Saints here, it looks like maybe Derek Carr will miss a game or two. He's in the concussion protocol and pretty banged up. I think I'd rather go that direction than a CJ Beathard, even if he is going to make a couple of starts here.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the quarterback position, because we have multiple injuries. And like you said, a couple of guys on bye available in plenty of leagues. Gardner Minshew, he came through with over 300 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's got Cincinnati this week. That's a very beatable matchup. Any interest in Minshew if you need him? Would you prefer Minshew or Browning in this matchup, Tom?
Ooh, that is a tough question there. I think I'd probably prefer Browning just because of the Chase weapons and Chase and Higgins weapons. But I think both of these games could shoot out a little bit. I think the other thing with the Minshew stuff, Jonathan Taylor's out for the next couple of weeks. So we saw Zach Moss struggled near the goal line. So that ended up benefiting Gardner Minshew, a couple more touchdown passes for him than usual. He's been kind of struggling, to get over 16 fantasy points. He only done it twice in his first 8 starts, but did it against the Titans this last week. Needed overtime to get there, but as we kind of said earlier, maybe this game has a little bit of high scoring opportunity between the Bengals and the Colts here. It's not the worst total on the board, so maybe we can get a little back and forth from both of these quarterbacks that are available on waiver wires.
Let's keep going down. Jameis Winston, Tom. I mean, we know Jameis can put up fantasy numbers. The question is, who's going to be available for him to throw the ball to? Olave obviously had a big game last week, but is Rashid Shaheed going to be back? Jameis Winston has got a couple of good matchups, by the way, coming up with Carolina and the Giants.
Yeah, Carolina, not necessarily. They've been pretty good against quarterbacks, but, Giants for sure.
Have to throw the ball against them.
Yeah, exactly. So the only thing with Winston, we have seen Taysom Hill did have a season high in carries in that game last week. I would think that he would be more heavily involved, while Carr is out of the lineup and while they're dealing with all these wide receiver injuries. So I think that lowers his floor a little bit, but especially if your league does not penalize for turnovers or they're minimal penalties for turnovers. We know Winston isn't afraid to throw it deep, and we've seen it on a limited sample. He'll give Chris Olave plenty of chances. Olave's sitting at like a 38% target share while Winston's on the field this season. So he's going to give his best player plenty of opportunities and certainly a viable option off the waiver wire, especially if he gets a couple starts against Carolina and New York Giants the next 2 weeks.
Let's keep going down.
Yeah, we can go.
I don't think we need to. Hey, what about old Joe? What about Joe Flacco, Tom?
We
put up a couple of touchdowns against the this past weekend. Who did they even play? The Browns.
They played the Rams, and now
right. But Joe had a decent game.
They got the Jacksonville Jaguars this week. I would be concerned about that game, especially if Beathard starts. That could be a pretty low total in that game. But we also have to see who's going to be the starting quarterback. I think Stefanski will go back to Flacco. I think Joe gave that offense a little bit more than what they've been getting from Dorian Thompson-Robinson and PJ Walker. I think Walker's definitely out of the picture. So it's all going to depend on DTR's health and if they want to give Flacco another start. I think they should, but that's still something we got to watch this week. So, you know, maybe don't use too much fab to get, well, you shouldn't do that anyway.
Use any fab.
To get Joe Flacco, but you got to monitor that to see if Stefanski actually does go to Joe Flacco this week.
Let's go to the running back position, Tom, and the top target. I mean, look, Zeke's going to eat. He's going to do the old thing, the spoon and whatever, but those are going to be some empty freaking calories yes. For sure. Because the Patriots can't score. I don't think they've scored 10 points in 3 weeks.
They have 13 points over the last three games. Of course, they got shut out last week, and they had 6 and 7, I believe, in the other two games. So.
I mean, come on. If you need somebody who's going to get touches, Ezekiel Elliott is going to get them, and potentially, Tom, for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Ramondre Stevenson, Adam Schefter said, diagnosed with a high ankle sprain. At this point, we're in week 14. Is there even a reason for the Patriots to bring Ramondre Stevenson back? And if he comes back, is he going to be effective is the question I have. So Zeke Elliott might be their starting running back for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I can't imagine there is much reason. Yeah, he's still on his rookie contract, so there's no incentives like on his contract that would motivate him to come back. So, I would think that it might be Zeke the rest of the way for whatever that's worth. We'll see. We saw in that game last week, he pretty much came in and dominated the snaps, 70% of the snaps, even with, you know, Ramondre, basically, he got 9 carries in that first quarter. So we know what they're doing with this offense right now. So if you combine Zeke's carries and Ramondre's carries from last week, they ran it 26 times. So I think they'll be able to rack up some volume this week against the Steelers. That total is threatening to get under 30 points. It's sitting like it started 31.5. I think it's down to 30.5. So there's Zeke's going to get the ball a lot this week. It's going to be a lot of empty calories, but probably, you know, not many opportunities to score touchdowns going forward, but he's going to get the ball a lot. And if you need somebody, you know, that's a warm body, that's capable of getting 20 touches and maybe that outside chance that they do score a touchdown, he showed he can still function as a receiver, 4 for 40 receiving in that game against the Chargers. So he's capable of catching a few passes as well. So if you're looking for like 12 to 16 fantasy points, I think Zeke could do that with 20 touches.
Let's go, Tom, to Tyjae Spears. The thing, though, is if you were holding on to Tyjae Spears, we got a little bit of a surprise on Monday. Despite Derrick Henry being ruled out, I guess, with a concussion in that game for the Titans, he apparently is not in concussion protocol. So it looks like Derrick Henry is going to go this week. But nonetheless, Tyjae Spears showing you why he's still been a worthwhile hold all this time.
Yeah, he was excellent in that, in his little audition there at the end of the fourth quarter and in overtime, racked up 16 carries for 75 yards and had 4 catches for 13 yards. So very involved whenever he got the chance and nearly got the Titans in position to win that game. They kicked the field goal and ended up losing to the Colts in overtime. But so we'll see about Henry's status. I guess he never actually had a concussion in that game if he's not in the protocol.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty standard. If you leave a game for a concussion, then you're in the protocol. So maybe they just pulled him and just, hey, we're not, our season's not going anywhere. Take a breather. So that is still a situation I'd want to monitor this week, though. Maybe Vrabel's giving us some bad information there. And by the time they start practicing on Thursday, we find out that he actually is in the protocol. So and either way, like moving forward, I think he's the type of guy you want to stash on the end of your bench. Maybe they rest Henry at some point as well. So Spears can do a lot with a nice workload. So certainly somebody you want to pick up and have a stat. We've been touting him for much of the season here as a good stash player. And maybe it will happen one of these weeks, even though it looks like it might not happen this week now.
There's still a couple more running backs we can go to. A guy who was just on bye is available in about 80% of Yahoo leagues, Tom, and he played basically 2/3 of the snaps in their last game. That's Rashawn Johnson of the Chicago Bears. He outsnapped Khalil Herbert by far. I guess Deontay Foreman could be back this week, which would damper Rashawn Johnson's outlook. But you wonder if the Bears are going to continue to evaluate Rashawn Johnson down the line. Remember, 75% of the snaps, they trust him in pass protection, and he's a good receiver, which is good news for Rashawn Johnson if you need him for fantasy.
Yeah, it seemed like there was definitely a shift to Roshan before that bye, before last week's bye on that Monday night football game. They made him the workhorse above Khalil Herbert. Herbert was the lead back earlier this season before his injury. So it's kind of a sign that they're maybe taking a little time to evaluate. I was even just thinking about the last night's game. We didn't really touch on him. Chase Brown for the Bengals. That was another guy. They noticeably were getting him involved. If you play in some deeper leagues, or if you're in like a keeper league, he's not a bad like little stash guy. Maybe he becomes the Cincinnati lead back next year. But Roshan Johnson's kind of in a similar situation here. Deontay Foreman's was a one-year deal to come play in Chicago. Khalil Herbert's always been kind of a bit player. I think is he a fourth-year player? Is this the last year on his rookie deal?
I think this is his third year.
Oh, this is his third year. So he still has another. But I still think Roshan Johnson profiles better as a better all-around lead back than Khalil Herbert. I think at this point we kind of know Herbert's more of a, better in that change-up role. The 30-40% of the snaps kind of guy. So Johnson, hopefully they take this chance to take a look at him, but I'm a little skeptical. I'm not ready to throw him into a lineup this week. I do want to see how they use these backs. They've been pretty frustrating all year with how they've used these three backs, but he's still a good stash here. If we get solid usage for a second consecutive game, maybe we can use him with a little bit of confidence in weeks 15 through 17.
Well, we have to keep an eye on the status of both Zach Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker this week. Both guys injured. Charbonnet with a knee, Walker with an oblique injury. Both could play. Neither could play this week. So you have to keep an eye on this, and it's a bad matchup against San Francisco. Nonetheless, DJ Dallas is available in virtually every single Yahoo League.
Yeah, this is desperation only. I mean, we saw what Charbonnet did with a bell cow role in this matchup just a couple of weeks ago on Thanksgiving night. Wasn't very productive, but so we got to watch the monitor. Yeah, we have to monitor this injury report. I would expect one or both of these backs to be ready. There was talk that Walker might be ready for week 13. He ended up not practicing, but it was that short week, before another Thursday night game. So that he has the full 10 days to get ready here. So I have a feeling maybe we get Walker back this week. We'll see about the extent of Charbonnet's injury, but not necessarily a guy I'd be, using fab or a waiver priority on, but maybe later in the week if it looks like both of these guys could miss, if you want to pick him up and throw him in a flex and pray to God that he gets 10 to 12 fantasy points. That's certainly in the realm of possibility, since he should rack up work if Charbonnet and Walker both miss this game.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're really stashing, Tom, the Commanders are going on bye this week, but Brian Robinson left last week's game with a hamstring injury. Antonio Gibson's rostered in more than half of Yahoo leagues, but Chris Rodriguez is available in virtually all of them. This is more of just a complete stash, because Brian Robinson could be ready to go in week 15. We don't even know, but if you have Robinson, maybe you go make a stash here with one of these Commanders running backs.
Yeah, and it will be interesting to see how they kind of divvy up work here. I think Gibson would definitely be the guy to pick up. He's 56% owned, so he's probably not out there in most of your leagues unless you're playing in a really shallow league, like an 8 or 10 team league. So I think he could split the early down work with Rodriguez and still get the passing game work. So I see Gibson's role expanding just a little bit if there's no Brian Robinson. And yeah, Rodriguez is just a deep, deep league, like 14, 16 team leagues. Maybe he can get 10 carries while Robinson is out of the lineup, but you'd be really banking on him scoring a touchdown, which is certainly possible. That the Commanders have been able to put up some points. They play in a lot of high scoring games, but Rodriguez is just a deep stash, and we'll see about Robinson's status. Maybe he doesn't even miss a game, as you said, Joe.
A couple of receivers we need to hit on. Number one, Noah Brown. He didn't catch a pass in his return from that knee injury. However, Tank Dell goes out for the season with a broken leg, and it's really hard to ignore the fact that Noah Brown had just a few weeks ago back-to-back 150-yard games, and C.J. Stroud is still balling. Noah Brown available in 60% of Yahoo leagues, Tom. not out of the realm of possibility he becomes a game changer down the stretch.
Yeah, he would probably be the top priority off the waiver wire for me this week. You know, we see it every week. There's somebody in this Texans receiving core is going to go off. It's just a matter, you know, it's just a matter of which wide receiver or which tight end is going to go off, because CJ Stroud is playing out of his mind. He's leading the league in passing yards per game. And so one of these receivers is going to put up production. We saw Noah Brown was one of those guys in weeks 9 and 10. He absolutely erupted, 325 receiving yards on 13 catches and a touchdown in that 2 week span when one of the receivers missed. So last week played a lot. I have a feeling more that he had been battling a knee injury. Maybe he was just the guy that was out there filling a spot, running wind sprints, you know, kind of opening up for Nico Collins and Tank Dell. But his role could change and he could be more involved moving forward. So these are the numbers that Tank Dell leaves behind from our fantasy points data suite. Route share, 72%. Air yard share, 33%. And a 21% target share that Tank Dell is going to leave behind. So that's a lot of production that's up for grabs. I would think a good chunk of it will go to Nico Collins. I think he's going to be the, no doubt, number one wide receiver. He's a wide receiver one for me for the last 4 weeks of the fantasy regular season and playoffs. So he's the top guy, but maybe it become, I mean, if we're looking at this, Robert Woods played decent at the beginning of the season, but he's been losing steam all year, older receiver. So he's not a priority here. And then there's like John Metchie and Xavier Hutchinson behind them. There's a reason I think they've been in reserve roles for much of the season. We even think back to like the beginning of the season, Noah Brown opened the season as a starter before he got banged up. So I think Brown has got a chance to be the number two wide receiver here in an offense that we want parts of this passing game.
One more wide receiver that we need to touch on, and I think this is very much Flacco dependent. Elijah Mitchell is available. Elijah Moore. Nobody really dropped him, I guess. Like, he's still available in just 57% of Yahoo leagues, but Amari Cooper has a concussion. Joe Flacco, I think, played well enough to keep that Browns job. And Joe Flacco, dating back to his time with the Jets, loves throwing the ball to Elijah Moore.
Yeah, it doesn't always necessarily result in a completion, but he does give him opportunities. So you got 12 targets last week, 27% share. Only got 4 catches, but he turned it into 83 yards. And Moore's been a guy that got off to a really slow start, under 10 fantasy points in 7 of his first 8 games, but 12 fantasy points in 3 of his last 4 games. So he's trending up. Joe Flacco, we saw it. This passing game has a lot more juice compared to PJ Walker and DTR. So not necessarily a guy I might be playing if DTR is named the starter, but if we get a game or two, another game or two with Flacco at quarterback, if Mark Cooper misses, Elijah Moore is a guy that will probably should be in a lot of lineups as a wide receiver 3 this week if there's no Cooper and we get Flacco.
Let's move down to tight end, Tom. And it's the same guys we talk about every week, but because they went on bye last week, Isaiah Likely did not end up on nearly as many rosters as he should have. Mm-hmm. He's rostered in just 38% of Yahoo leagues. He was well ahead of Charlie Kohler in snap share, 73-27% in week 12 against the Chargers. And now maybe it's just coach speak, but on Monday, John Harbaugh suggested that their reported interest in Zach Ertz, he said they like the guys they have. So it seems like they're going to roll with Isaiah Likely and Charlie Kohler. Isaiah Likely, a tight end one going forward.
Yeah, the Ravens were like kind of the one landing spot maybe for Zach Ertz, where it could have been like, okay, maybe he can be a fantasy relevant guy. So it does look like it, you know, the Ravens might not be that destination for Zach Ertz. I think we're probably all leaning towards him going back to the Eagles, but that is one little piece that's dangling out there. But Likely, as you said, was dropped around the league. You know, it was a 16 bye last week, so people had to make some roster decisions. Likely was one of those guys that got, you know, picked up a lot before week 12 and was cut. Even though I thought he played pretty well. It was a little slow going in that season opening game and then against the Bengals in week 11 after the Mark Andrews injury. But this was the first you know, real week where he got like all of the preparation to be the starter. It was a good matchup against the Chargers, so maybe that benefited him some. But 4 for 40 receiving on 6 targets, that's a solid stat line. If we could get that every week from him moving forward and we get 1 or 2 touchdowns mixed in there, I think we'd be very happy with that off the waiver wire. Well, we'll see if it continues, but you know, they have to change their the offense did look a little passing game, at least looked a little off without Mark Andrews in there. So maybe they need a guy like Isaiah Likely to step up a tight end here. And you know, with a bigger role and with more reps, maybe his production does start to go up too. He is a young receiver. So the more chances he gets with Lamar, you know, the better off he could be here. So I wouldn't be surprised if he shows some improvement over the next couple of weeks.
Well, Tom, this is actually a harder waiver wire than I anticipated. Week 14 waiver wire article is up at fantasypoints.com. Go check it out. Tom puts it together. John Hansen puts his finishing touches on it, and you get it every week with recommendations based on league size. But Tom, at this point, league size really doesn't matter. You know, if you're a playoff contender or not. He's Tom Brawley. I'm Joe Dolan. Thanks for joining us for this edition of the Waiver Wire podcast. Check us out on fantasypoints.com on the Point Spread Show later this week. And I'll talk to everybody later.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Fantasy Points Podcast. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite platform. And come join the roster at fantasypoints.com.